Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. You're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank. It's time for our regional roundup, and aptly as ever, has that very dramatic music. It's been a dramatic week.
Yes, it all started off on Sunday where the world's largest free trade agreement was signed after 8 years of putting it together.
Yes, that's right. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, including 15 countries in the APAC region, 10 in Southeast Asia, and there are high hopes that this will help to spur recovery from the pandemic.
Multilateralism, that's the word of the week. And in the rest of the region, political instability in Malaysia and Thailand continuing, while Indonesia tackling the logistics of rolling out a COVID-19 vaccine across the world's fourth most populous country. For now, to tell us more is Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Excellent. Always good to hear your voice. Let's begin with RCEP, Leslie, because this has been the big news now. Since Sunday, we get that deal, the world's largest trade pact, including 15 countries. So once it's ratified, how much of a boost is it actually going to be? And is it that rubber stamp on multilateralism in this region?
Well, you know, it is a boost. It certainly is a boost. And it's a good story in times like this when, you know, good stories are a rare breed, actually. This will help, and it shows that the importance of ASEAN in the region in promoting this multilateralism. And so there are high hopes. But, you know, still there are a lot of work to be done in many areas. Many areas have been omitted, like agriculture. Also left out issues on environmental and also human rights. Another issue is that they need to tackle will be e-commerce regulations, kind of, you know, recalibrating them to make them to boost more trade. So these are areas that are going to be really looked at in the coming meetings of ASEAN, and I think countries will need to, you know, focus on them, get all of this sorted out, and that will help certainly build this region into one of the more promising trade areas.
From good news, we move on to news keeping Malaysians on their toes. All eyes on whether or not Malaysian MPs can put their differences aside and pass that proposed budget 2021. That's expected to be held next week, I believe, this parliamentary voting. Leslie, what are we looking at here? I mean, the likelihood of it being passed or ramifications it'll have on the political stability and, you know, the need to deal with this COVID-19 pandemic in Malaysia?
Well, you know, things aren't looking good for Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin. Increasingly, MPs, members of parliament, are sounding out giving messages that they need to vote for their constituents rather than stand along party lines. This is one statement veteran politician Tengku Rizaleh made, who's a politician from Kelantan, made yesterday. He too signaled that, you know, he'll have to vote with his conscience rather than along party lines. All of this suggesting, pointing towards the fact that the budget has received a lot of criticism, attacks, rather than, you know, show of solidarity or, you know, people coming together. Mm. So the prospects of it being approved are looking very, very slim. And should that actually happen, it would translate into, and if it's not approved, vote of no confidence against the Muhyiddin government, which is already tottering at this point. So the ramifications then would be what happens next. You know, you've got a government that doesn't have the majority support in parliament. Things will fall back onto the palace again. You know, what will the palace do? So right. A lot of intrigue in the coming days. You know, and the question will be whether these politicians will be able to cobble together some kind of coalition, some kind of pact to get this thing approved.
Yeah, well, I wondered about that because a top leader of UMNO, which is, of course, the country's ruling coalition, you know, has come out to say that there should be a grand coalition, including current opposition parties, and that they can rule the country together and bring stability to the country's politics. I'm sure that's what everybody wants. But how has that suggestion actually been received? Is it even viable?
Well, the thing is that, you know, Anwar Musa, this politician that you're talking about, appears to be a lone voice, and it sounds like a call of desperation, actually. And he's received very, very little traction after making that statement. So it's really, it's desperation here. Everyone's trying to make these right-sounding noises, trying to get people together and saying this is good for COVID. But the problem is Muhyiddin is weak. The other politicians are digging their heels, and we don't see any signs of any kind of compromise in the coming weeks.
We're speaking with Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, time to move on to some juicy stuff. And it centers around Malaysian fugitive businessman Joe Low, commonly known as. Apparently now he's claimed that millions of dollars siphoned from 1MDB were merely loans to him. And we found out about this via some recordings, right?
Yeah, that's right. So Al Jazeera, the network, apparently had these recordings that he had made with someone in the Malaysian executive. It appeared to be an attempt to bargain for his freedom, but let's have a listen.
They have given up a lot of the assets, and there's still a portion that haven't given up. So I think if Singapore hears from Malaysia to say, look, Mr. Low is going to waive all his claims, I can do it within the next 5 days, easy. Obviously, in return, then I need Singapore to lift my Interpol red notice, which they were willing to do, and that in future they can't file any new notices on me, but if they want to file new charges on me, that's their business.
Wow, now getting Singapore involved, Leslie. You have tracked this case for the longest time. You've even spoken to Joe Low and published articles on this before. But what are you understanding about these recordings?
The calls clearly, they are authentic. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. The question is, who in the Malaysian government was actually negotiating with him? And, did it get the sanction of that time, the approval of, say, Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir and the others? So that's an issue that really is would be good to explore, sure. One. Number two, people are starting to question the timing of these tapes. Why now? And they seem to be incomplete. Why not, come up with the whole story, who was actually talking with it? We haven't heard from Dr. Mahathir yet, who we believe was clearly sanctioned these tapes. But they're coming at a time, too. And typically in Malaysia, everything is seen from a political dimension. There is a lot of talk that, Anwar Ibrahim, the opposition leader, is working out a deal together with the likes of Najib and Zahid Hamidi, both who are facing, one who's already been convicted for criminal breach of trust in 1MDB, and another minister who's facing, former deputy prime minister who's facing corruption charges. So everyone's looking at this from a political prism, whether this is to make it difficult for this pact to continue. That is one. But all of this happened in 2018, and as far as Joe Low is concerned, I don't think this guy is going to be welcome in Malaysia. Clearly, charges are waiting for him. The government remains committed to locating him. So, this is juicy stuff, no doubt, but people are wondering whether there's a lot of politics in this for you to come out now.
I like how you're reining us in. I like it, Leslie. I shouldn't share on air just how I feel about his tone in those recordings as well. That was quite something,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Let's pivot to other areas very quickly of the region. I just want to very quickly ask you about Thailand. It's on the front page of the Straits Times today. The scenes are really quite remarkable. What's going on with those protests? And, are we going to see fresh elections potentially?
Well, clearly the protesters have been gaining ground. We've been covering this for a long, long time now, even on radio, and they've been gaining ground, and I don't think they're going to yield anything at this point. On the part of the politicians, the political elite, they've decided that, maybe there is a need to review the constitution. But all of this is going to take time, because if to set up a panel to begin this review would take 3 to 6 months. And also what will be needed is the protesters will demand representation here in this panel to have a say in rewriting the charter. So until all of this is sorted out, you know, we have clarity, I think these protests are just going to intensify because these guys, the protesters, see themselves as gaining ground. And the question would be, what would be the pro-royal people do? We already see this this wardrobe kind of colored scheme protests coming out with the royals, pro-royals coming out with the yellow shirts. So it's going to be interesting how this thing, you know, plays out in the coming days. It's all, everything has a twist.
Leslie, just 30 seconds to get through this quickly. With regard to Indonesia, apparently their country's authorities have warned that it won't be able to give emergency authorization for mass vaccinations to be rolled out in December or at least until late January due to incomplete data. How concerned is the government over there?
Oh, very concerned. This is, you know, really a setback. And, you know, I think the country's own food and drug agency warned that, you know, without any complete data, they're not going to approve this this rollout. And rightly so, I think. But they've got to move quickly. They've got to move quickly. And I think waiting till January may not be that huge of a problem. But a lot of people would have liked to see this happen sooner and get this out, get Indonesia moving, you know, getting its economy going again. But this is a setback, and a setback for President Jokowi too.
We've been speaking with Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. As always, sir, thank you for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.